time.
The Cultural and Outdoor Resources Finance Division will come to order. Is there anyone that has not yet completed assignment number 2 that wishes to come before us and complete assignment number 2 at this time? Vitaly? Please introduce yourself for the record and then tell us how you're embracing the outdoors.
My name is Vitaly Giron. I'm a page this year for this committee. And me, outside, I live by the Fort Snelling State Park. And this is myself enjoying the outdoor. I live right by the river, so I enjoy hiking and looking at the wildlife and finding interesting sites like this.
And do you go there often?
Not too often, but occasionally.
Every once in a while. There's a nice bike trail through there too, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Well, I like Fort Snelling too. Or, that's what it's called, right? Fort Snelling State Park?
Yep.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wishes to share assignment 2 with us? Catch up on their credit, even though it's a little late. Hearing none, we'll go on to the items on the agenda, the minute. Representative Kent.
I would like to move the minutes, Madam Chair.
Are you there?
As printed for the 7th meeting. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The minutes are adopted. Okay. For the homework assignment 5 was asked you to do a reading, chapter 3 of From the Price of Government, and on goals and priorities, and then for you to develop 6 goals based on the reading, what you read, and using that as background, the reading, and our compilation packet from what our first assignment, where you went out and questioned people about what their expectations were. And then to develop 6 goals and outcomes and your indicators of success for your goals. And I trust that you have done that, because if you have, you're going to be able to complete our work assignment today at this time. But before we go, Mr. McCormick has a few words to set us off.
Madam Chair, members, Patrick McCormick, House Research Department. Friday afternoon, Mary called, Chair Murphy called, and asked me to spend a few minutes outlining with you the planning exercise that she wants us to work through tonight together. And in a few minutes, we'll talk about dividing the members into 3 groups of members and dividing some of the audience into some groups and beginning a very simple and I hope focused planning opportunity here. And it's useful to note a few things, and this is where I get to spend my 5 minutes wandering through the article. But it's useful to note something that I used to learn long ago about legislatures, and that is that, in a way, legislatures strategically plan by passing bills that the governor signs. But that's the end of the day, and earlier in the day, legislators can benefit by talking in a more focused way about goals and outcomes that they want the legislation to achieve. And that's, I think, where we're at today, is we're earlier in the day. In reading the article, a lot of the article is about budgeting for outcomes and taking an approach which suggests that we need to move from how we envision our public, the constituents you serve, the organizations that are served by folks in the audience, and how we take what they want out of this raised money in our own eyes and turn that into goals and outcomes. So a few simple thoughts. There are some pretty clear indications of general goals in the constitutional language that created the four counts. But if you read this article, they talk about base budgeting, and we're in a unique situation. We do not have any base budget. Now next year, we will. Next year, we'll have expenditures that we've created this year, which we need to come to grips with. So a lot of the challenge this year is budgeting towards a set of goals and outcomes that we want to achieve to make this money work for Minnesotans. And to solicit ideas to find the best ways to spend the money. And in later years, to learn what works and to refine those choices we've made this year and next year to make them better and to make the outcomes better. So today's task is to work a little bit on goals and outcomes. And as part of making this assignment work, it helps to take what you wrote and try to translate it into the language of goals and outcomes. So a statement of goals tends to be short, clear, articulate. I want the money to be spent in a transparent fashion. I want Minnesota's water to be clean. I want Minnesota's history to be preserved for future generations. And outcomes tend to be measurable. I want a scientific analysis of Minnesota's groundwater to show the groundwater is actually improving on a range of measurable indices. I want, and so as we work through Chair Murphy's assignment tonight, I urge you to get comfortable with this way of speaking about our goals for the future. As I understand it, what we're going to do, in a minute, Phil or the chair or somebody is going to list the groups that members divide into. And there'll be three small groups of members and staff, four small groups of members and staff. And then there'll be, I think, two or three groups of folks in the audience. So a few rules about dispersal. For the audience, we're asking people to divide into groups without clustering into account-based groups. So if you're sitting in a group and there's everybody from the arts and the cultural heritage area, divide up and move to other groups so that people who are interested in clean water can talk to people who are interested in parks who can talk to people interested in trails who can talk to people in the cultural heritage. Secondly, and this is a fair warning, when the groups report back, Mary is going to select someone from each group to present the group's findings. So it may be you who has to talk back to the group and tell us what it is. We're not going to designate that up front. My advice is to do two things. Try to note areas of consensus that you can bring back to the group. And secondly, try to note areas where there is debate, where there is contention, where there are hurdles to overcome. It's fair to come back to the group and say, we all agreed on these aspects of spending this fund, but there was a clear difference of focus on this fund, and let me describe it, and then you talk to the group. Maybe the larger groups can engage then, and our goal tonight, therefore, is not to come to agreement. It's to note areas of agreement and areas for ongoing discussion. So, Mary, I think that fulfills what you wanted out of me.
Good.
One other thing is that I will, my role is to wander around and suggest, and maybe with some of these two staffers here, wander around and be both of service to you if you have technical questions, or to suggest helpful ways to focus what you're saying.
Thank you very much. The committee members will be Group 1, Erdahl, Loeffler, Mack, Hansen. Group 2, Hausman, Hogg, Torkelson. Group 3, Davis, Morgan, Lilly. Group 4, Brown, Wagenius, Isha. Now, that may be changing in a little bit, but we'll have to see how that works out. Okay, somewhere in your little group, audience members, don't go back to your little silos. But if at any point someone wants to question or get a clarification, please indicate that you have a question or you need a clarification, and we'll call on you no matter where you're sitting. I think everyone in the room that did your completed written assignment with your name on it, make sure that Mr. Chen gets it before you leave tonight. And on your big sheet, indicate in some way which group it was that did that. And if any of you want to comment now as people are reporting or question, that's fine. But let's hear from Group 1. Or Group 5. Okay, let's hear from Group 5 and then Group 1.
Madam Chair and Committee, my name is Sheila Smith. I'm Executive Director of Minnesota Systems for the Arts. Our team introduced themselves. Peggy Allen, Minnesota Zoo.
And then you.
The science museum.
Murphy.
So we came up with 4 goals, and we had some indicators, but we didn't get the indicators for everything, because it took a long time to get to these 4 goals. The first goal, to assist access to the arts for all Minnesotans. The indicators were that the numbers of participants in arts activities increases, and secondly, that there's measurable evidence of arts funding in all Minnesota counties. The second goal was to use existing funding systems, state agencies, and entities to distribute the funds rather than creating new bureaucracy. And the indicators were that no new agencies were created. Third is to preserve and enhance Minnesota's quality of life. There's a huge discussion about what that meant. The 2 indicators we agreed to were to enhance access to the arts for all Minnesotans, and that Minnesotans have access to clean water. And the 4th goal was to assist in stabilizing arts and culture organizations in the context of the economic crisis. And we didn't have the time to sort out what the indicators would do for that.
Okay, would you read that 4th one again, please?
To assist in stabilizing arts and culture organizations in the context of the economic crisis. National organizations dealing with nonprofits have projected we're going to lose about 10% of nonprofit organizations in the current economic crisis, and then they grow. So we're trying to figure out how you would measure whether or not you're stable stabilize the community as opposed to letting organizations die off.
Part of the challenge discussion around that was that there may be some that could die off, that there is some health and some change, and that's why we use the patient bars to get into indicators.
They need Dr. Kevorkian. Is that what you're saying?
Not a natural death.
Okay. Are those prioritized?
No, they were the orders to which we agreed to them as we discussed.
Okay, but you didn't put them in. You didn't. They're not priority in order.
Correct.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Number one.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Linda Brower from the Minnesota Department of Health. I represent group number one. They're gathered over there. We have... Ryan Redfinia from Park. We have had a lot of discussion, not a concern. Wasn't more discussion needed. So the first was improved drinking water quality, and we did have some detail in people's personal assignments as to objectives to accomplish that. Second was prevent restored impaired water. Third, and these are not in any priority order. Translate amendment into action, the need for transparent funding. This one, as you can see, everybody had lots of ideas, different ideas on how to do that. But we decided the legislature would weigh in on that and figure out how to do that best. Next, maintain and support regional parks. Everybody liked that. Question, we did not gather because we were all in the environment, but we seem to have a lack of knowledge about arts and cultural heritage grants, but we felt that the arts and culture grants could go through some oversight body, but that was the limit of our knowledge of it. Expand critical infrastructure for public broadcasting and broadband. There's interest in that, but there people said there has been funding for this in the economic stimulation package, the federal money, and that we should use that sufficiently, I believe. Maximize it. And this just meant it was not top star, it was next rank down. And then improve the safety of fish consumption. I had a little teachable moment to talk to people about the fish consumption advisory and what I have picked up in the green sheets on how people want better fish to catch. Questions?
People want healthier fish? Okay. All right. Is there a group four?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Nelson. I'm with Minnesota Public Radio. And Fred and Lane, you want to introduce yourselves?
Larry Redden, Minnesota Citizens PR.
Fred and Minnesota.
And we came up with two goals that are pretty broad, but we weren't really deep in those two goals. The first one is every Minnesota will have access being the key word, arts and cultural activities, arts educational activities, clean water, outdoor recreation, including hunting and fishing, and a public radio and television signal. Our indicators are pretty clear. One is participation going up, just raw numbers. Are more people participating in all of these activities? Number two is participation going up in every county and socioeconomic level. That's getting to the distribution notion that if participation is going up in the metro and not here in Minnesota, we're not succeeding. And number three is participation going up relative to national benchmarks. Let's look at the national picture. How are we doing compared to other states, other metropolitan areas? Are we succeeding looking at different models? The second goal is to protect, preserve, and enhance Minnesota's quality of life relative to the issues of the amendment. Quality being the key word here. Just making sure that everything we're doing is of the highest quality. The indicators, healthy organizations stay healthy and grow. So this isn't about taking organizations that don't get any participation that are just moving along and sort of letting them win the lottery. It's about letting organizations that are being effective organizations that may be struggling right now, but allow them to stay healthy and to grow and provide even more and better service. Every Minnesotan has access to information about these activities. So we may be succeeding again with a few, but we need to make sure that everybody knows about the parks that are available, that the wetlands, about the arts activities, about the public broadcasting, everything that now is available to them because of this funding. So we need some sort of information infrastructure that is providing that information, and that would be measurable. And then last, and this is the same as our first goal, is just looking at the raw numbers. Is participation going up across the board? Any questions?
Now, are those priorities? Are those in priority order?
I would
say
none of this is prioritized.
Okay.
I think it's through the prioritization model.
Okay. And Linda, yours weren't prioritized either. They were just, so that might be a next step. Number three.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm David Kelleher from the Minnesota Historical Society, and group three is over on that.
Yeah, well, that is getting in the answer.
Cindy Jepson, Minnesota Film and TV Board.
Glenn Price with the Minnesota Conservation Board.
And Dave Bustolovich, Health and Leadership.
We came up with a total of seven goals and had a few indicators or outcomes for each one. The first one is balance, and the indicators are geographic balance and the notion of that everyone's going to be a little bit disappointed in what happened, completely happy. The second one was visible or quick results. Project delivered in a year. Another indicator of that was that the legacy amendment polled high in the House and Senate state fair polls that you all do every year. That's another indicator. Restored wetlands and prairies would be measured by the number of acres preserved and improved water quality. Developed arts through the moving image industry, which would be measured by development of local talent, added jobs, and leveraging outside dollars. Number five is prioritize projects that create jobs and leverage not state dollars. That would be measured by lists of dollars from the federal government and other non state sources, and the number of jobs created or preserved. Number six would be projects that stay within the year of the amendment. And the indicator would be no losses. We were told at the very end that we had to come up with six, not seven, so we were going for extra credit with number seven. Preserve historic and cultural resources, which would be measured by the Preservation Alliance of Minnesota has to discontinue its Most endangered historic property groups because there aren't enough to go on the list. The use of the federal tax credit increases, and there's increased attendance at historic sites. And Madam Chair, I know the next question could be whether we prioritize. We did some lumping and splitting. The ones that are, we look back at them, and there are some things that relate to process, and there are some things that relate to specific types of projects that might happen. So the ones that are circled are the specific projects, and the ones that are in a square are kind of process. So we lump them together that way to try to take a stab at prioritizing. Mm-hmm. Don't really prioritize again.
So it's kind of like stars. Or
we talked about the autocracy. Maybe.
All right. Any questions? Very good.
Thank you.
Number two? We never had a number two of that. Oh, yes, we did.
Number manager, so we're kind of group leaders.
You're what number?
Just be two. Just be two. To be.
So you must be group two.
A Z would be like a two.
Yeah, Z would be like a two. I'm Doug Carnival with the McGrand State Carnival Law Firm and represent the Minnesota Recreation and Park Association, and my colleagues who joined me are...
I'm Valerie
Gilbert
from the Minnesota Public Museum. I'm Alison Wolf from
Minnesota
Center for Environmental Advocacy. Dana Friedman
with
Clean Water
Action.
And
I'm Steve Davis from the State
Parks
Board.
So you can see we had a very diverse group
Boy,
of people.
Boy, there's no silo there.
Quite a bit of input across the board. We approached it much like David did, with a couple of overarching principles that we decided were important, and then the four specific areas that we wanted to focus on as important. So our first was transparency and accountability, and we thought that was something that ought to be applied across the board as we approach this process. And to the extent we have public input and awareness, that's going to be an indicator as to whether this was transparent and accountable and appropriate. Second overarching concept was equity, and if we had the geographic and demographic equity in the distribution of the funds, we thought that was an important aspect of this as well. We thought we'd need some sort of assessment on a statewide basis to determine what the needs were for the actual priorities. And then we have kind of two different measures. First, to the extent that we have programs like clean water programs that talk about an existing list of state priorities, that those be followed. So to the extent we're following stating state priorities rather than politically picking and choosing things out of the list, that would be a measure of success of equity. And the second was measure the level of success in achieving equity of, for instance, like in park and trail areas. If in fact we were able to show that we really diversified the use of the trails and the parks for groups that weren't using them geographically and demographically, we'd have been successful. We then talked about four different specific areas. Use of the dollars to fund clean water legacy. There was a concern among the group that has been an underserved area, and that we truly wanted to make sure that we were following the guidelines that are in place. Some people said, let's follow the state and federal laws on that. And the test results, if they showed that water quality was increasing, we in fact would be achieving the success of trying to make sure we did what we thought was an important element. Fourth, increased access to the arts for all Minnesotans, something you've heard from a lot of groups. Very important, our group too. And we thought the measures of success is if we were able to minimize barriers, economic, demographic, cultural, and geographic, for those populations using the arts, then we would have been successful in increasing the opportunities for arts for Minnesota. Five, spend the outdoor heritage money based upon science and existing state plans, like the clean water concept, and the extent that it was done according to those plans was a measure of success as we proceed forward. And lastly, broaden access and opportunities to the state parks and trails, including regional and local trails. And again, if we were able to minimize those barriers for economic, demographic, cultural, and geographic diversity, we would have achieved the level of success we wanted to in the park and trail area. So, happy to take your question. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Very good. Very good. You all were very, very good.
Thank
Good job. Good job. Oh. Now, what are we going to do with all this? That's wonderful first step. Wonderful first step.
We're not finished with all the groups.
So,
Madam Chair, do you know that we're not all finished with all the groups?
We have all the answers, but we're not finished.
I know, the people at this table. Oh, right. Okay. They have to talk yet. Okay. Yeah. But we hardly ever, you know, require anything of audience people.
Yeah.
And look at what they did.
Audience, talented committee.
Talented audience. Don't let that go to your head.
Impressive. Thank you. Thank you. So, group with Mac and Wagenius and Eakin.
Okay. Number one on the list, we felt that there should be a 25-year plan for each account, and that's based on current science, public engagement, also completed in a reasonable amount of time. We're thinking, you know, what that amount of time would be, but may depend on each account in determining that factor. And this, that would help us to make sure that, that these projects are done with long-term vision and that it'll have long-term benefits. We even talked about that it could even go beyond 25 years, maybe even multi-generational, looking for plans that would have benefits that extend on beyond our own generation. Also, we're saying that there should be balance within each account, and that's both that goes geographically as well as categorically. We did have one disagreement on that. Representative Wagenius believed that the balance should be based on population. I thought it should be acreage. we'll have to work that one out. Also, that we need to have measurable outcomes and transparency, and that was very important that be accomplished. No tails. Because that has to say we're concerned about the dog park, but that's no tail as far as cost. Left unfinished, we want to make sure we follow through with any project and that we deal with the tails as well. And that's to make sure that the projects are actually followed through on it, that they're not just picked up and then dropped. So that was important. Preference for projects with multiple benefits, and we're talking about the silo type mentality that we get into oftentimes, and not looking for projects that are going to have multiple benefits. And there's all kinds of examples of multiple benefits that we had in really all of the different accounts and all of the different areas. And while we shouldn't just focus just on doing projects that have multiple benefits, we should certainly give a preference to that because it creates kind of a synergy. So that was important as well. Also, legislation for accountability. We're talking about setting up a website, interactive website that would help with accountability and a place where people can go to see the things that are actually being accomplished, that we've stated would be accomplished, and the objectives are not only being pursued but are actually being implemented. Also, having the Office of the Legislative Auditor do restoration accounts and maybe hiring the experts necessary to go out into the field and make sure that the restoration is actually being accomplished and being followed through on. So we felt that it's important, again, that we make it clear to the people who supported this amendment, as well as all the people of Minnesota, that their money is being used wisely. So, any questions?
Good job. Representative Haas and Torkelson, Staff Dwight, and Loeffler.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I would have to say that our group came with a variety of perspectives on this. We had three different approaches and one person who claimed that their homework was eaten by the dog.
I'm
not going to name any names.
That's not a representative.
So we had a challenge incorporating our different ideas into something we could agree on, but this is what we came up with. Number one, a high rate of customer, quote, citizen satisfaction. That the citizens of Minnesota will be satisfied with the results of our efforts and see value in them. Second, enhanced cooperation among stakeholders. So we had some quite good discussion about what stakeholders really meant. I think our agreement was that stakeholders was very broad, a broad concept, including government agencies, non-governmental agencies, citizens groups, and hopefully even those citizens that don't have a group. So everyone is kind of getting some input. The process should be transparent, fair, and accountable, and that's been reflected in many other people's presentations here today. Proceed with a plan and recognizing that in some areas we may not be quite ready to pour lots of money in, that we don't move ahead until we are confident that the investments we're going to make are well organized and ready to move ahead. It's your wife? The next goal would be that a larger percentage of the public will engage in maintenance, use, and enjoyment of our cultural and outdoor resources. And this is, more people get involved, more people take ownership and an avid interest in all these areas. And finally, lasting difference that honors the five areas as defined in the constitutional amendment. So we will, of course, always be looking back at the constitutional amendment for our guidance as to which areas. So make sure we're covering all those areas.
Very comprehensive. Thank you. Thank you. Questions? Okay.
I'm sure what's the fifth area?
Drinking water, clean water, and then drinking water is part of that.
Oh.
That's the trick.
Yeah.
So that's where it was the number. Just go right through the amendment and put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Otherwise, Representative Hodge defined as park with one area and trails with another, but I don't think he did.
Thank you. Well, the guy can't hear me, so he keeps calling me.
So we have Erdahl, Davis, Morgan, Lilly, Hausman. Yes.
Before I start, I want to say that I get to do the presentation because Representative Lilly suggested that Representative Erdahl do the presentation, and Representative Davis said he talked too much.
You had a cooperative group that got along well, I take it.
I'm not sure I could anybody but Erdahl.
Please proceed, Representative Morgan.
We came to consensus on five goals. Number one, that we meet the constitutional requirements, especially we discussed regarding the supplement versus the plant issue. That we establish measures of accountability for all expenditures. That there is geographic balance in the bill, and we didn't talk about any category as another group did, but we didn't get to that. That contributes to the economic health of the region and or the state, and that there is a balance of short-term and long-term commitments in the bill.
I feel like clapping. Is it okay?
There is a second page. We had some questions, and they mainly had to do with also process and bonding.
the idea of whether or not we're going to come to some decisions about whether or not we can do that, and also subcommittees for dealing with each of the different areas, whether we're going to process the information that way or all in one large group. But those were, there was no consensus there with everything. Those are just questions that we will keep.
Okay. Very good. You all deserve it. Now, were there any groups that totally disagreed on things, on any items that you want to bring to our attention?
Totally is a big word.
Well, that found things that definitely need further discussion in some form.
Our assignment was to list out the things we disagreed on. We need 3 pages.
All right. Any particular... No, I can't do that. All right. Any one else from any group that wishes to make any more comments? Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We are probably the only committee that will actually do zero-based budgeting.
Yes.
I mean, everyone else, we've sort of decided that for everyone else it would take far too long, but we have no choice. And so we do have such a different challenge in this committee to have a blank sheet of paper and build from the ground up.
As far as the constitutional amendment money goes.
Yes.
And that's an excellent point to make. And we have, with it comes great responsibility in developing the framework for the funds.
The other discussion we had a little bit of that didn't fit the parameters of what we would put on the paper, but at a certain point there is this reality of needing to do this together with the Senate, and that we might, and we're beginning with such a different process, and that if you read the newspaper, a few people in the Senate have already some very, very specific parameters laid out. And that their culture being different than ours, it more likely is going to be a few key leaders who would sort of lay out the direction.
I'm sure.
But the more we develop, and the stronger our developmental process is, the more likely we are to
win.
Achieve our challenges. To achieve. Thank you, Representative Hausman. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And one question is, okay, we, you know, pass our bill, and the Senate, of course, agrees with us. And so the bill is passed. Now, does the governor then have veto authority or line item authority per project, or is that it? Or, I mean, he has to sign the bill. Can he chop it up? We know.
We haven't talked that much with the governor's staff on that issue yet. But we have been in communication. We're hoping that we can work things out along the way so everything will be accepted.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. But if something in some rare circumstance was not accepted, what recourse would the executive branch have to the fine work that we've
done? Line item. If we had projects in there. I was hoping, and it came in a written assignment from someone, I was hoping that somewhere we would talk about a reserve fund and not spending any money before we had it. Did that come up in any of the conversations in any of the groups?
It did. Circle R is pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did it come up in any of the audience groups?
They spent it all.
Rick Ben
Morgan? Madam Chair, I believe it did come up briefly when we were talking about the oversight. But I don't know that we talked about it enough to add it onto the consensus part. But
right.
I believe
at
we did
point.
Talk about it at this
at
point.
Point.
At this point.
But it can be brought up then when we're talking about what came up.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hodge.
In Representative Torgelson's presentation, you noticed that he said that we may need to address some things as emergency items, but we would like to have a safeguard plan for the rest of the project. So I think that's what we were hinting
at. That's more than circular.
Yeah.
Representative Loeffler.
Well, and we discussed, you know, transparency and accountability and public engagement. We kind of said the process between now and May doesn't really allow the optimum in all areas. In some areas there might be plans and in other areas there isn't. And so we said, you know, we talked about the idea of a transition year, that maybe what we do this year isn't the rule for the next 24, because we're moving so fast. On some of these.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I might know who provided you with that input.
I think you do.
And I do apologize for not being here. I'd be in another committee and had to vote. So.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be good to have a reserve just across each of the four funds, you know, what that reserve could be. Because we, just with the calendar that we're going to face, where the money starts being collected on July 3rd. And then it starts being received on August 15th. And then it's going to be variable in each month of those receipts. And we're probably going to have a lessening of the projection here in March. And so if we appropriate 78.5, and the other numbers, we may be stuck with that. I think you will see recommendations come before the committee that are one-year appropriations, two-year appropriations, five-year appropriation. I think you're going to see proposals for bonding, using the tax revenue as a bonding stream. And I think those are things we probably should discuss, because they're being discussed outside of this room. And you know, is what comes in front of us a two-year appropriation, an annual appropriation, or does it on the question of tails? I know of at least one request for someone was a group that were looking at a five-year obligation. And so having that reserve, there will be projects, whether they're in either of the funds, that could be done this fall when the first money comes in, and there will be projects that may take more money. There may be projects that just take the appropriation. If we pass a bill and it's signed by the governor and says there's going to be X amount of dollars here, then the partners could start to act and bring other people in. But all of those uses of dollars, I think having even a 10% reserve the first year, until we see how the sales tax is going to flow in, I mean, we're probably going to get more in December than we will in September. You know, but then just on cash flowing it, what a lot of the folks who are in the room are thinking may be different in terms of 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. And we've got the issue of obligating future legislation. So I think all of those are important, and taking a conservative look at maybe holding back a little bit and not appropriating everything, I think would be wise.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I'm listening to that, I'm wondering whether we have a realistic view of the bookkeeping. And how will others view this money? How would finance view this money? How would it show up on a balance sheet when they forecast? You know, when you live with something for so long, you think it's like neat and clean, we're going to put it in a separate savings account, But in reality, is that how it's going to work? And with finance degrees, if that's how it's going to work. And then one of the other discussions we had in our group, and I think none of us have been part of the formation of that group, but we have one, this Outdoor Heritage Council, and none of us really knew how it was that one entity had a citizens group that was formed around it, but none of the others. And what does that mean? That there is a group of citizens that's having a discussion about one, and whether that impacts models for some of the other areas.
Well, that came, you know, the Outdoor Heritage Fund, Citizens Committee came as a result of the Game and Fish Law, you know, that last spring. And it says they will recommend by April 1st to this committee, or to the legislature, and then we are the first part of the legislature that will receive their recommendation. But then Representative Hansen's bill, which establishes a person to be in charge of that, creates a whole nother idea. Does each fund then have a person that's in charge that gets an appropriation from the sales tax money, from the 3/5 money? And if so, is it the same percentage all the way across? Is it 1% or not? The water, there's a Clean Water Council that was appointed, was in existence with a previous legislation that was passed before this year even. Representative Torkelson was on it. It's an executive council. They may submit their recommendations to us, but they did that in Representative Virginia Simpson, our joint committee, and they did submit their report and said how they wanted the water money considered. But on that same day, another stakeholder gave another report and talked about how the sales tax water money should be spent. And between the two of them, those two reports, often more than gone. And so we have responsibilities before us. Whether there is, and then the art people that are spread throughout the room that were in the various committees there, and it was on two of the lists, I believe, that the structure is already there from the arts board and the regional art councils, that they could distribute the funding just as they always have. So we are going to have to discuss these in detail at a later time, whether we do it in the way this committee recommended, or all together, or either in dividing up, and some members of this committee with guidance from outside would say, okay, we will develop a plan for the Outdoor Council. Okay, we will develop the Outdoor Fund. Okay, we will develop the fund for the drinking water and clean water. Okay, we will develop the fund for the framework for the fund for the parks and trails. and okay, we will develop a fund for culture, arts, heritage, history, and everything. But we're not quite there yet. Representative Hubbs.
And when you raised that, the context of all the other committees coming to mind, you mentioned Parks and Trails. Because we do some Parks and Trails in the Capital Investment Committee. I think you do some Parks and Trails in Environment Finance, and there would be some here. And that's where I worry about duplication or inefficiency, or not maximizing the dollars without carefully figuring out who just bought it.
Exactly what they said. And what they said.
Yep.
And can this committee recommend bonding projects to your committee? And can your committee recommend spending activities to our committee? We can, but we don't have the logistics worked out. Representative Lockwood.
Well, I saw it from a lot of the different groups, sort of measurable indicators and, you know, comments about, you know, accountability and making sure that we're making a difference in the way that the public expected. And also gathering those indicators costs money as well. I mean, if we're going to do a scientific poll or survey of the public to see what percent of youth a park of different types, have used a trail, who know where one is close to their home, who have participated in or know of arts activities in their area, who are aware of water cleanup projects that are happening in their area. I mean, if those kind of things are measures, I think, you know, it will take resources. Whether it's a survey, whether it's, some of the groups it sounds like are gathering scientific information and have some baseline data. I heard some conflicts a little bit between some of our natural resource groups in terms of who has the best data and how they organize it and whatever. I don't know that area that well. But I mean, I think that's another area of potential investment that we're going to have to look at. And who do we want to do that? Is it through the university? Is it through staff? Is it through, you know, another?
Anything else? Additional to add in here now, as we're pondering. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to give us advice from based on what you had in your little discussion? Ms. McCormick, anything additional?
I'd like to offer a Valentine to the committee, but it's really more of a Lenten thought, which is that we're going to be facing an April 12th deadline to finish this bill, and it's quite likely that many of these divisions will be given deadlines before April 12th, and so one thought would be that as we, on a staff basis, begin to look for neutral ways to express things in legislative language and build sort of a neutral framework for the committee, we will be seeking ways to structure appropriations and articles and charters. And our goal is to feed that into your plan, so that if there are going to be groups working on each article, our goal will be to sit down with you and try to make it read and dovetail, and that includes a whole series of decisions which only the members of the legislature can make about how we're going to be planned for and put together a long-term plan, what kind of governance we want area by area, maybe by fund by fund, grant by grant. How is the finance going to work? How is the money going to flow? And finally, how are we going to assess outcomes, who's going to do that assessment for us, and how are we going to put ourselves in a position so that next year, we want to be proud of this year's bill, but we want next year's bill to be better, and we want after that to be better. And so there's a lot of work about this, and I think we're going to have to get concrete into written legislative language in a fair amount of time here.
March.
March Madness.
Right. Well, each meeting we've made steady progress. Big, we've taken giant steps from meeting to meeting to meeting. On Mondays, anyway. And I think that's just been great. And then Wednesdays, we've been doing the overview of the organizations, the agencies which are under our umbrella also. And on the 18th, day after tomorrow, we are going to have the Chicano Latin Affairs Council, the Asian Pacific Minnesotans, Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, and the Council on Black Minnesotans, public broadcasting, public television, NPR, and AMPRS. Hearing nothing else, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.